Got a bad bitch on me.
What?
Got a bad bitch on me. She D T F.
She tell me she
D T F.
I heard she
D T F.
What?
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.
Okay. Well, Lou, I'm on my bag. Got the code in a spot.
Welcome to DTF, the Daryl Timmery Fun Hour. It is the greatest sex education, comedy, sometimes game show, currently podcast in the known universe. Hello, I am your resident sexuality educator, Dr. Timmery.
And I'm the resident comedian, Daryl Charles.
It's true.
That's right. These are the things that we do. And we both like to talk about sex and gender.
It's true.
And so we have a show.
Yeah. And, we've been doing this. We were just talking about how long we've been doing this. And
yeah, Obama was president.
Yeah.
Obama was president. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, I mean, is there ever really like a good time? Like, I feel like there's never really a good or a bad. Like, there's just different bad every time. There's different good.
Yeah. Like, for our spinoff project, DTF Book Reports, I'm reading Irony and Outrage, which is a good book. And it starts off by talking about when Samantha Bee had Glenn Beck on her show, and Whoa. Glenn Beck was on like an apology tour for destroying America. And it's very funny to read that in 2023.
Oh,
it's very funny to read about that in 2023.
Well, I look forward to hearing about that. And if you in the audience are interested in that, you should definitely subscribe to our Patreon.
That's true.
We appreciate any of your listens, but if you would like to support the show financially, you are absolutely welcome to. And then you get free access to our spinoff podcast, Book Report.
Yeah, where we talk about things that may not even have to do with fucking. But yeah, but anyway, but yeah, like time is perspective, and it's just very, it's funny. I'm trying to stay on the positive side of thoughts when I think about how long I've been doing things. But yeah.
Yeah, so you were an incredibly fortunate person that you've been able to do the thing that you love to do for so long, right? That's one of the...
Very true. Yeah, not only, I'm incredibly fortunate, but also incredibly skilled because I have been able to do the thing that I've been doing.
Yeah,
And whatnot.
Well, I think that's probably like a feedback, right? Because you're good. You keep getting to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I like it. Look at this positive thinking on the show where it turns out that capitalism was the villain all along.
There's so many different feedback loops. It's like I need money to live, so I have to go out and do things. Those things determine my value, but I'm not supposed to be wrapped up in that because that doesn't lead to happiness. But yes, but I've been fortunate.
We're doing great. And we get to do a show with our friend. And we also have a live show. So if you want to hang out with us in person, it's BYO.
It is. And I definitely be being. So, yeah, come through. November 17th, we will be at Comedy Sports Philly.
Well, I don't know when this episode's coming out. So just go to Comedy Sports.
True. Yeah, Philly. Just go to Comedy Sports. We also have a December date.
Yeah. 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 Just check it out.
Yeah.
With that, should we get to our first regular segment?
Let's do it.
So our first regular segment is the fucking news. We've got some fun pieces for you today, and by fun I mean we're like all right. So our first one is an interesting one. Like I stumbled upon this. It's on Scientific American, and it is technically an op-ed. It's not actually a reporting article, but it has to do with the rise of esports. So esports are like huge as an industry in general. And then during lockdown, a lot of colleges and universities started including esports as a way that people could continue to stay in contact. And it's become a huge...
Right. But they were doing it before that, too.
But now 250 colleges and universities run varsity collegiate esports programs. And then another 900 schools offer some form of esports. And video games are incredibly popular with young people. 97% of US teenagers play video games, but it is white male students who are dominating the scholastic-based esports, and they get most of the esports scholarships. And even though college is becoming overwhelmingly female filled, that's actually an interesting thing we could talk about. But the folks who are going into this as esports are still overwhelmingly boys. And part of the point of this article is that because of Title IX, colleges have a responsibility to make things fairer for female athletes and safer. And they need to start figuring out what they're going to do about all the harassment and sexism and racism and stuff that happens in like esport spaces. So I know you know more about video games than I do. What was your take on all this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely agree with that sentiment. Like, you know, the internet's a terrible place, and because people can be anonymized, it's very easy to find people doing the worst types of behavior and to find people being desensitized to it as a matter of survival, right? So it's like I like playing video games. I play a lot of one-player games. I play a lot of role-playing games that take a long time to beat, and I do not interact with people on the internet. Part of it is that when I have interacted with people on the internet, it's a waste of my time because they're just idiots who are racist. And so it's like, I'd rather not have that be a part of my life. And that was one thing that was brought up in the article a lot. It was like, it's the desensitization to that. And one of the things that they suggested was not just lessons on don't do that and mandates on we don't allow that here, but also bystander training. How do you call out someone for that behavior when it's not directed at you? How do you maintain your sensitivity to that? Because we should all be working to have a world where it doesn't exist, or it's, you know, the person who yells the slur is the villain in the situation and not the person who reacts to it. So, I think I definitely think it's impungent. The schools should be dictating the terms of how to do esports on their own thing. And I think if schools did that, it would take it'd be a good thing. I'm surprised.
I feel like this article just prompted more questions for me because I'm like, okay, so when you're doing esports, I assume you're playing against other colleges, right? Like, so that seems like a pretty easy slam dunk, at least when it is a sanctioned game. Like,
or your school has a team. So I mean, you know, if you're going to think about it that way, your school has a team. A lot of times when it comes to esports, I follow like a couple random esports, but I'm not like on like League of Legends, or there are very big ecosystems that I am not a part of at all, as a fan or player. So there are bigger tournaments that a school can put a team into, and it's tough for the school to be like, this is how you have to operate. But I think, you know, a school can definitely have its own tournament. There can be collegiate tournaments, and they can set up the rules being, you know, what they want, I would imagine. And I imagine that like the people running League of Legends see a benefit in being on the right side of history on this issue. They may not see a benefit in policing that kind of behavior. I think it did say that, you know, it happened somewhat, but it's still a problem. And so, yeah, I think if a college is holding a tournament, that's one thing. If a college is sponsoring a team, it can say part of the rules of being on this team is that you will not participate in these things. Part of the rules of being on the team is that we mandate awareness of this topic classes to, you know, see it like I said, bystander stuff, anti-harassment training, that kind of stuff.
I mean, the thing that came to mind for me, because again, I'm not like I will list all the video games I've ever played, this will not take long: Dead or Alive, Extreme Beach Volleyball, Top Spin. There was a short period where I tried to play Voodoo Vince, but I'm not very good at this stuff, so I didn't get very far. And I don't know, like some pinball on a computer. Yeah, I am not that guy. But
What's Voodoo Vince? Is that like Leisure Suit Larry?
He's a little voodoo doll, and he's just going on adventures and gathering things up, and it's just, it's got a little bit of a spooky vibe, and it's set in like New Orleans, so I just thought it was cool, and it just...
Like Mario
kind of thing? I don't even know how to compare it to anything. I mean, it's like you're exploring a world, and you're jumping around and bouncing and, you know, like trying not to get killed kind of thing.
Okay.
On going on a little...
Yeah. Like Mario Brothers, like you're jumping on things and
picking
up
this fireflowers. Is absolutely not my area of expertise. So just like this is not at all. But what this does remind me of is when I was in college and I tried to get involved in like the humanist organizations and the atheist organizations and stuff like that. And it's not that humanism or atheism are inherently like white male things, but like when like the culture of a thing for a long time has been dominated by that. Anybody who comes in who's like, okay, these guys are being weird, like, you know, getting sexually harassed the first time you go to a meeting, like, I'm not going back. Like, I don't want to hang out with fucking weirdos. Like, it's not like that's the ethos of the organization. That's not like what it has to be. And there's probably more people who want it to be inclusive, but it's like, if you don't police your own community, if you don't make sure that your own members are living up to the ethos that you want, like, it's just going to continue to be like a weird silo of
It's like you have to create the environment where people want to show up and feel welcome, and you can't be like, the reason we don't have that, the reason we don't have those people is because they don't want to come.
And it's
not that. It's like it couldn't be part of it, but it's usually because when they did show up, they recognized that y'all didn't want them there, or you weren't ready for them to, like, be a part of the conversation. In this
Scientific American piece, they just point out like the very high percentage of female gamers who just like hide their gender. They don't, you know, do anything where they can be heard auditorially. The number of like black women specifically who said that they experience like overt sexism and racism. And it's just like so needless. And the difficult thing is like toxic members of communities have way more power. You get one really toxic person and it changes the whole thing. So it brings out the worst in everybody.
The entire dynamic.
And the nice people who think that you should talk things through and have empathy don't have the same kind of impact, and that so
they don't stand up and yell because they haven't been taught to, and it's very quick for those toxic members to turn on those people who would be like, hey, you don't have to talk like that. It's like, oh, you're all a bunch of wimps and whatnot. It's absolute trash. And and it creates these weird silos where people think that like gross behavior is fun,
or that you just have to do it to be a part of it.
And they excuse that kind of behavior. And what this article is saying is that no, it doesn't have to be that way. And especially with it being a growing movement, schools are in a great position to set up places where that stuff is handled outright. And that's why it was like, involve your DEI people, involve the people who are trying to get this done on campus in the esports, because they can't just be talking about what's happening in classrooms if the classroom is virtual, right? You've got to involve these people in that and create spaces for, you know, where that's not happening, and find people to be able to talk specifically to this issue. And how do you, you know, train people out of it? Because it's one thing to play those games, but, you know, it's a school. So I'm sure that they're computer science people. They're, you know, it's all kinds of stuff. They turn it into a academic research based thing that involves esports. And I'm sure in a lot of those places, the other parts do have that kind of training, do mandate that you can't just be a piece of shit. But then when it comes to like esports, it's like, no, that's just the lingo. That's what we do. And it's like, no, that's not the way that works.
It doesn't have to be.
doesn't have to be. But, you know, I'm in schools trying to teach kids, and they say things, and I'm like, yo, we are in school. And they're like, oh, yeah, my bad. And I was like, what do you mean, my bad? Like, Yeah.
We'll talk.
Do better. I didn't know that there was a hashtag E2.
Well, I mean, it's at this point still theoretical, like that it hasn't really happened in the same way like Me Too has, but it would be like until that is really a groundswell. But it's also, you know, we've talked about this before, like what were the actual impacts of a lot of these online movements? So Me Too had some pretty high profile dudes taken down, but like, can we say that like is it better?
That it's better.
I mean, Harvey Weinstein's gone.
Right. Right.
Kind of end of list. Right. Like.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, yeah, you get some of the bigger names out, but then, you know, the model now changes and it's all about fucking Patreon content. And so it's like, yeah, that toxic behavior is now happening behind paywalls. And is that better? Is that worse? I think, you know, arguments could be made either way.
Yeah. Right? And of course, like, you know, in terms of like comedy scene now, there's all these like older dude comedians who are specifically making their whole grift be the idea of cancellation, right? Like Rob Schneider, perfect example. Yep. And if you bring up Rob Schneider's name, most people are like, what? Like he still does stand up? And it's like, yeah. And his whole thing is appealing to these disaffected, like, probably white cis straight dudes who are like concerned about cancel culture above all. And that really appeals to them that that's the whole set.
Right.
And Rob Schneider has not been funny and since.
You're right. Well, I think it's more that they like, you know, I think every child goes through a period, every person goes through a period where they feel disaffected, where they feel like they're not part of the culture, where they're trying to find their way in and they feel ostracized. They feel like they're alone. And it is very easy for somebody that looks like them to tell them that the reason why they feel like that is because of all of the people who don't look like them and not because that's just what happens. That is just how you feel. And what you need to do is go find people in the real world who share your interests and don't let those immutable characteristics be dictating your associations in life, because that's a very small way to think about the world and only very small people rely on that shit. Yeah. So, you know, that's what schools should be telling kids. That's what that should be a part of any kind of esports curriculum, because you have to battle that stuff and talk about like, and it's, you know, whenever you get into these diversity conversations and trying to make safe spaces for people, you act as if it's the safe space not for white boys. It's like, it's a safe space for them too.
It's a safe space. If we make a space that are welcome and everybody is respectful towards each other, it's safe for everybody, yeah.
Right, exactly. It's safe for everybody. And you can actually have real interactions and you can ask questions and have them answered. And no one's going to try to cancel you if you're abiding by the rules that help make it a safe fucking space. But, you know, this is
a great segue. Also. It's a great segue. So our next piece of fucking news, which has to do with a study that came out, and it's been reported on in a way that is different than I think, Daryl, you and I have looked into it, and it's a little bit different than I think the original reporting indicates. So, like, for instance, if you look up this UCLA Teens and Screen study, and it's something that apparently happens like routinely, they maybe every year, and they're interviewing members of Gen Z, so ages 10 to 24, and asking young people about what they want in TV and movies and like what social media they consume and what they think is the most realistic. And the big headline that a lot of these articles were pulling away is that teenagers want to see less sex, drugs, and recklessness in their content, right. And they specifically cite like
Stop
Euphoria,
dicks.
Which I don't think has been on for a while, for one thing.
Right.
But then we started to like dig into the actual like info from the study itself, and it's really not about sex very much. But you know, for one thing, there's a few things that I want to couch in there. If you're asking someone who is 10 years old, they're going to give you a very different answer than someone who's 24. That is a big group of people, right? Like a generation is big, but 10 to 24, they might as well be totally different generations. So I would imagine that most 10-year-olds are going to have like very different opinions on sexual content than they will just a few years later. But the big takeaway that I got from reading this stuff is that kids want to see more realistic things, things that feel more like their actual lives. They talked about a near majority felt that romance is overused in media. There's too much like, you know, they end up together. Nearly 40% of these respondents said that they want to see more aromantic and asexual characters. And that nearly half of them said that of the adolescents said that sex isn't needed for the plot of most TV and movies. And like, so that was really the big takeaway that a lot of the like headlines said. Yeah.
Articles ran off with. Right. And it's saying like, oh, kids want to see less sex. And I'll take those are three separate critiques that do not say that. Saying that sex is overused is, I think, calling out lazy writing. It's not saying that I don't want to see sex. It's like, I love a good titty, but that's not the basis of most of my friendships. And so if I'm going to see a show about a bunch of friends, there's probably no need for that. And yeah, to see aromantic and asexual people, because we know asexual people, we know aromantic people, and you don't see them on TV, right? Like, that is not saying that I don't want to see sex. That's saying that the way that it's depicted is unrealistic to my real life. And what this year's study and last year's study suggested was that a lot of adolescents want to see things that more closely resemble life that they know, and not like, well, here's what some fake rich people in California are behaving.
Yeah, so like, I had like a ton of reactions to this in sequence. And the first one is, kids these days are actually pruder. We know that they have sex less frequently. They are more open-minded about sexual identities and gender identities, but they are less likely to be having casual sex than generations before them. We've been getting more and more prude, I mean, over the years. So that is a thing. The other thing is that I think that a lot of this is in tandem with a sort of general cultural prudeness that's happening, and it's not just young people. And this is going to relate to other things we discuss, well, not only today, but like every day. Anti-porn movements, stuff like that. There are actively efforts to get rid of pornography now. And there always have been, but it's back with a vengeance in a way that it hadn't really been in like 100 years, you know, like people had been interested in sexual freedom as a form of freedom and personal expression. And now it's starting to get this weird mixture of like evangelicals and second wave feminists and like these different groups that are coming together to be like, we don't want to see porn.
I think it has to do with the fact that it's kind of ubiquitous now, especially in America. So like when we grew up, finding porn was a thing.
you had to put in some effort
in the woods. You had to go places and get it. You had to go finding, rooting around your older cousin's closets to find porn. And so what was built into that was this inherent shame, right? Like I had to go seek it out. And so I'm doing something dirty or whatever. Now, as long as you have a phone, you can see some of the most hardcore, gratuitous nonsense that you'll ever imagine. And there's going to be a backlash from that. People are going to be like, there's too much porn out here. Now, and, you know, I think with better education, you're going to find out more kids are like, yeah, okay, I get what sex is. I get how you do it. I'm good.
Yeah, I think like one of the things that I push up against is when people say like a sex scene isn't necessary in a film or whatever. And I would push up against the idea that like none of this is necessary. Like, but I think all of this is entertainment. Right. There's no reason that we hire actors if what we're trying to do is make it as realistic as possible. Like, I have no problem with a sex scene that is referred to as gratuitous by other people. My concern is, you know, do you have people on set to make sure that the actors are all down? And like, do we have like an intimacy coordinator? Right. I care about that. And I care about whether it's always the exact same type of people getting naked and the exact same type of sex happening. Like, that's the thing I'm concerned about. But I don't, you know, like, I'm never mad that like, oh no, there's a sex scene instead of just cutting ahead to them waking up the next morning. Right. And there are so many people and they're on Twitter and they are like, you didn't need that scene. And I'm like, you didn't need that scene, you know?
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, like, obviously, yeah, you want to make it titillating. You want to make it tantalizing. There's like, you could probably make the same statement on violence. I wonder if they asked the kids about that. Like, is violence overused in movies, right? I mean, this is just about romance and sex, but like, you know, and that's what I'm saying. I think it's about lazy writing. It's not about the actual sex. It's not about that. Like, again, we're picking very hot people who we are paying to maintain impossible physiques so that they show them off in these movies. Right. And how do you do that? You tear a shirt either from fighting or from fucking. And so you tend to do both at the same time. Shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Right. So that's what you do. And so, yeah, I think, you know, it's one thing to say that sexual relationships are used as a shortcut to build camaraderie in a movie, and another thing to say, I'm tired of butts. Those are two different statements, and you know, media and the ongoing war to get eyes and ears onto your stuff mean that shortcuts are taken. So, you know, but yeah, I think the kids will be all right, but I think that they are correct in like, yeah, people want to see a more diverse type of relationship in television. They want to see different bodies do stuff. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And making, you can see a lot of different bodies do stuff in porn because the search engines are pretty good. It's just Boolean algorithms. We figured that out pretty early on as people. So you can find that in porn, but like to find it in, you know, iCarly is way different, right? And it's like, yeah, like Jesse Spano doesn't have to be attracted to
Zach
Morris.
I love all your references, none of which are from this decade.
The same decades. Yeah.
One thing I found really funny is they asked them, you know, like, what is the most authentic form of media? And they said TikTok. And I laughed out loud because there is the argument to be said that it's like, it's consumer created, right? So it's reflecting real people. But all media is made, unless it's AI, using real people. But it's all like, you think TikTok's authentic? Okay, sure.
Well, I mean, they bill it as such. It's advertised that way. That's the way that all of these things are advertised. It's by you as if, no, there aren't people who have degrees in fucking media studies and the ways that people communicate. And they are using all of that knowledge to present you a very specific picture that they know is going to make you stay on the app or buy a shirt or start saying that birds aren't real. Like, this is all a plan.
I love
and
that.
And there are plenty of people scheming.
I love the birds aren't real movement. That's
I know
funny
the schemers. Yeah. There's a white person with a lot of money because of it. And it's like, it's a hustle, man. Fucking, it all is. You know, and I'm just trying to figure out how to get people to pay for our Patreon.
Yeah, if you want more millennials content.
You want more exactly that millennial content on what these Gen Zers are doing. You can go to patreon.com/DTFunHour.
Yeah. And I think that's actually a perfectly good transition to our next piece of fucking news, which is very funny to me. As of us recording, we finally have a Speaker of the House again. Four weeks of just like abject wasted time and nobody can do anything and nobody can pass any bills. But
still don't have a good budget. Still looking at a shutdown in like, what, 20 days, 10 days?
This recording, who knows what's going to happen. But we do currently have a Speaker of the House, and his name is Mike Johnson, and he believes that, this is a direct quote, we believe, and the Bible teaches, that any form of sexual immorality, such as adultery, fornication, homosexuality, bisexual conduct, bestiality, incest, pornography, or any attempt to change one's sex or disagreement with one's biological sex is sinful and offensive to God.
Yeah, he's like the worst.
This guy is, I mean, they weren't going to get anybody good, but like, man.
No, but they really did dig deep for this. And it was funny because like nobody knew who Mike Johnson was when he got the job. And then every passing second has been a nightmare. And you're like, this is the person y'all made third in line for the fucking presidency. All right.
He's a real winner. Another thing that I found incredibly funny and depressing is that so a resurfaced video came out where he talks about he and his 17-year-old son are each other's accountability partners for their porn consumption.
For the internet.
So, yes.
For the internet consumption. And so they get detailed reports of what they look at. And so people are like, yeah, that also includes porn. And no, what it means is the son knows how to use a fucking VPN or and Mike Johnson uses his work computer to beat it. And you would know that with the FOIA request.
So yeah, we've talked about before, Covenant Eyes is the thing that they are using. It's a lot of evangelical anti-porn people have been repping for it, but it scans all the activity on your phone, your devices, your laptop, what have you. And it sends a report about objectionable content. You would get an immediate notice. And he says, I'm proud to tell you, my son has got a clean slate. But like,
yeah. And if I was 17, my parents would have said that about me too. Cause if I knew that they had even the slightest fucking inkling that they could see what I was doing, guess what? I'm using my imagination because I'm young, or I'm going to figure out a way to get around it.
Literally, because they still sell porn at like gas stations. Like, it still exists in like physical form too.
Right. So it's like, I don't believe your son. And
then the other thing, so we'll see.
Jack Johnson.
Well, he had his time in that music industry. But the other thing is that Covenant Eyes being scanning all your stuff means that you could.
It's bad for a
you could have a compromised device that's letting anybody see what you're up to, right? So like that means that it would be that much easier to hack this guy and to get access to like sensitive information. The Speaker of the House probably has access to information that we don't want, like, hackers have.
And you would hope that the government is using encrypted software and hardware combinations that make an app like Covenant Eyes not privy to that kind of data. You would hope that he is not installing third-party software on government property. You would hope, one would hope, you know what I mean? Like, you would hope that there should be layers of security between him and his weird thing about his son's porn and us, you would hope. But, I mean, it's a great question, and I hope somebody does the FOIA request to figure it out. But, yeah, like, that I'm not so scared of, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know him enough to be like, he seems like the kind of guy that's stupid enough to do it. The only thing I could say is stupid about him is that he thinks bisexual conduct is a thing and is an anathema in the eyes of God. That's so bisexual. What the hell is that? High fives? Shaking hands? Sitting cross-legged on a chair? That's just,
I don't know. I figured whatever it is, I'm doing it. So But I mean, the fact that like that is in the same list as like bestiality and incest is always such a red flag to me, because it's like,
yeah,
one of the yeah. things I do like to do with like with students when we're talking about like the ethics of whatever in sexuality is just ask them, all right, what's wrong with incest? Like literally explain to me what's wrong with it. And I'm not saying like I'm arguing it for incest. I'm asking you to do the cognitive labor of figuring out why it's wrong, separate from the Bible said so. Like, tell me what about it is wrong. And then like, you'll get the first thing, which will be like genetics, right? Because then if you're too closely related, then you have all these recessive things. And like, that's actually not a huge concern because like some of the best genetic pairings would be between first cousins, because then you get like enough distance. So, and cousin marriage is still pretty normalized worldwide. So it's kind of arbitrary, right? So like, let's dig some further. Also, let's say you're not going to have kids. So go further. What's wrong with incest? And we have to keep having this conversation where people have never thought this stuff through. And I'm, again, not arguing incest is okay. Yep. I am asking you why it's wrong. You have to actually go through all of the steps, show your math and be like, oh, because...
If you want to make rules for people, if you want to make rules, you have to, it can be passionate, but it should be a dispassionate research. You want to get down to the moral, not moral, the logical rules about why something is wrong. If you want to be a lawmaker, like because you're not making laws on vibes. That's not what we're doing out here. I'm not going to be ruled by your vibes.
We kind of are though.
It's so we are, and that is why everything is terrible. But
but for the record, just as a TLDR jumping ahead, the reason incest is bad is boundaries. It has to do with
it's boundaries and it's power.
If there's a power differential,
it's the power differential. It's the fact that in many cases one person doesn't have the power to say no in that relationship.
And like that's the thing that concerns me about that like sex negative worldview, because it's like, if you cannot explain why those things are bad, you just lump them all into bad, then you will indiscriminately break whatever rule, right? Because then you'll be like, all of it's bad. So if the homosexual if homosexuality is fine according to these modern dictates, then it's just fine that I'm also like committing sexual assault or like looking at child sexual abuse materials or whatever, because it's all the same, because it's wrong just because the Bible said so, if you can't actually think it through. So that's why these people are terrifying to me. So
that's why we should, you can't take I do not take those people serious. I they're not serious people when you lump in homosexuality and bestiality together. I'm like, you're not a serious person. So you know, I tend to talk to you like this when you talk like that. And
I will just notice if you ever use that tone in my presence and talking to someone, I'll be like, ooh, they must have said something stupid.
Isn't that nice? Like, oh my God. Yeah. Oh, totally.
So America.
Yeah.
Where?
And again, you know, and I guess it goes without saying, have conversations with your 17-year-olds about their usage. Do not, I mean, maybe, look, it's your fucking kid, but like, if I had a 17-year-old, I would have conversations with them about their usage. I may put up some parental blockers because that's my right. If I'm paying for the fucking internet, I can be like, these websites are banned in this home, but I am not looking for a blow-by-blow of what this child is doing online at 17.
You gotta be able to have some privacy and some trust too. Like, even if the rule is like you can't look at porn and that's the rule that you've dictated, like if you cannot trust your kid to have that self-discipline, what is going to happen when the moment they are magically 18, right? Like the moment they don't live in your house anymore, then you got nothing. So you have to, like, this is I think, the big difference between generations is parents are coming to understand this in a way that, like, previous generations did not. But, however, there is this, like, parental rights movement that's pushing back on it, where your children are basically your property, and that's behind all of these book bans, and it's behind all these Don't Say Gay bills, because it's, like, you think of your children as being something you own and can control. And like,
yeah, well, I mean, not just that, but you also very hard, you bigly, Jesus Christ, you misconstrue what the lessons are that they're being taught. You're being told that they're going to make your kids gay. And it's like, that's not the way that any of this works. It's like when it's like, well, you shouldn't be talking about sex at all with a third grader. What you're telling them is that their body is theirs and no one should touch it. I don't think anybody's disagreeing with that, because that is what professionals say is sex education for a third grader. For somebody in kindergarten, it's my body is my body and your body is yours, and no one should touch you. And you should be able to tell your parents about anybody who touches you. If you explain that, and I've had these arguments because I tell jokes in the middle of red states. I've had these arguments after a few beers with people. And when you explain that to them, they go, well, yeah, I would want them to do that. And I'm like, well, what did you think that they're telling them? That it's okay to be a boy or a girl if whatever you want. I was like, I think most professionals would say that that's wildly inappropriate to talk to a baby about. There are certain age limits, and you know, everybody ages differently, everybody matures differently, but there are different levels of that conversation to have. And more information is never a bad thing.
There's developmentally appropriate sex education, and you can trust that people have put in a lot of time and effort to figure out what kids need to know at what ages. There are people whose whole job is that. And in the same way that you are probably not the best person to teach them trigonometry, unless you happen to be, like, there are other people who have this skill set who will be happy to help your kids through this, and then you don't have to be the only one. And you can still talk to your kids about your values, and you can still talk to your kids about, you know, the things that matter to you, but let someone else also help you.
Yeah, it's like, don't just run into a meeting being like, stop doing this. Why don't you actually talk to your kids and your teachers about what they're teaching? Because I bet you they want your fucking participation, because they're not fucking nannies. These are professionals who deserve money for the things that they do, because they're professionals. And that should bring us to our next fucking point. Thing.
Yeah. So on that note, we will take it to fucking idiot, fucking brilliance. Our fucking idiot story is infuriating to me on multiple levels. So one school in St. Clair, Missouri has had not one,
you know,
but two different, by all accounts, competent, capable, dedicated teachers who, because they made like not nearly enough money to be able to survive and pay their student loans, they literally are making like 42 grand a year, 47,000 if they're also like coaching a sport or something, which is just paltry money for the amount of hours that they're there, because they're in the classroom and then they're grading papers and they're bringing in their own supplies. It is just not nearly enough money to survive in a city. Anyway, two of the teachers separately were both on OnlyFans, and this was brought to the district's attention. Yeah. And the first one who was busted, she lost her job. So it was really good that she had the OnlyFans, because then her attention went up fivefold. Right. Her subscriptions went up. But
it's
free advertising. So now the kids know about it. They didn't know about it before, but now the kids know about it. And
it was behind a paywall, but now the kids. And now they can pay for it.
And a second teacher, when this all went down, deactivated hers, but you know, people still found it and they figured it out through, she ended up,
there were rumors.
Yeah.
And she confirmed them.
Neither one of them had their faces in any of this content, but she was recognized based on a costume that she had worn in one of the, so they did find out. So the two of them are like buddies. They did not know they were both doing OnlyFans until like recently. And one of them made like a brief cameo in the other one's video. And then people pieced it together from the costumes that it was this other teacher. But in both cases, now they're out of their teaching jobs.
People in St. Clair have,
and this
too
means
much time
the two incredibly dedicated teachers who were like good at their jobs, like both of them, I've read their statements and they seem like very bright people who are mostly sad that they're not going to see those kids again, that they were like ready to spend the next 30 years of their lives being dedicated to education and now they won't. And it's because teachers have this incredible level of scrutiny on them and then they are not paid commensurately. It is
The issue is that they can't afford to live their lives. The issue isn't what they do to afford it. Now, it doesn't mean that, like, if they got paid enough, they wouldn't have done OnlyFans. Let's not take it that far either. Hopefully, I think we should all be hoping that they were in it for the love of the game, in addition to the money, right? Like, the money's cool, but I hope that they like being naked on camera. Because if they were like, no, it broke me spiritually to do this, we should all feel terrible. And, you know, maybe one of the ways to fix that is to pay teachers more, and we should always be paying people livable wages for the shit that they do. But, like, yeah, they probably like doing that. But the fact that they like doing that does not make them unqualified to teach children. Because they're not teaching children how to run an OnlyFans.
That's the funny thing, is like, there's this very childlike idea that the teacher is not a real person, right? It's like, it's a little kid realization when you see a teacher out at like a grocery store and you're like, oh my God, they exist in the world as a person. And then there's adults.
Right.
Adults who seem to have the same logic, where they're like, well, you're not a person and you don't have other interests outside of this one job. Like, what are you talking about? You can't be a sexual being. Yeah. Your clothes don't come off.
Again. Right. Exactly. It's like when the teacher's pregnant, do they fire him? Like, oh, you've sometimes been having sex.
If it's a Catholic school, that has definitely happened. If somebody is unwed and gets pregnant, they can lose their job. That happens all the time.
That is a damn shame. But yeah, it's,
those are morality clauses. But, you know, like, if you're at a private institution, I guess you can make whatever crazy rule you want to, is the idea. But at a public school,
totally can. Doesn't, like, make it right. But
this shouldn't.
Right.
Okay, this is just somebody being an absolute jerk off who, like, found this and decided to torture these perfectly nice ladies, as far as I can tell. Maybe they suck. I don't know. But, like, they seem lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, they just want to punish sluts. That's the that's the entire thing. It's just like, oh, you like sex, you are wrong, and you need to be punished for it. And we live in a punitive culture, and I wish we could fix that. But man, when it comes from being deeply unhappy, I think. But you know, the idea of these other people got to suffer is such a, so deeply ingrained in our culture that it makes me sick. And then I try to make jokes about it on stage. But yeah, that's just what happened. And the people, it's probably like 8 people in St. Clair who spend their entire lives poring over OnlyFans content to figure out who's in their town. And it's not just a casual search. These people are really trying to piece shit together. It's fucking sad. I've seen it happen to a couple different people that I only know on the internet. And it blows. And it's like, these people should be able to have lives. And if they aren't involving the kids in their extracurricular activities, then the extracurricular activities shouldn't matter. It's like, are you going to do that for the teacher who is also like fighting fucking MMA? Like, aren't they more dangerous around them kids? Are you going to do that for a teacher that, I don't know, paints houses on the fucking weekends? Like, is that not more dangerous for the kids? They could be around paint fumes. Like, yeah. And also the idea that, like, we need to do this to save the children is absolutely trash. And it is it's using this innocence doctrine to be.
Yeah. Almost anytime something is to protect the children, you got to, like, stop and, like, look through that again. Cause it's like, are you sure? Because this does not seem like it's going to reduce the likelihood of war or the encroachment of climate change. Cause those are things that I think impact children. Right. Like,
when you're doing something to protect someone who isn't in the conversation, I doubt that you really want to protect them. You set something up on a pedestal so that it can justify your terrible behavior, because it's rare that somebody does this for something good.
Which reminds me, you had another story that was like connected to this, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I can't remember the dude's name, but there was a mayor of a small town, Bubba Copeland. He was a mayor of a small Alabama town, some right-wing news place, quote unquote, found evidence of him cross-dressing, and then he killed himself. the absolute tragedy. Again, him cross-dressing has nothing to do with the fact that he was a mayor and probably made him better at his job because he had fun at night and during the day. He was also a pastor. So, I mean, you know, there's apparently some photos of him wearing women's clothing and makeup, and he shot himself in front of police during a welfare check.
Buddy.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
that's how you know that police are not the ones to handle these issues.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't understand why. Well, they went for a welfare check. Yeah, right. Like, someone should have been trained in de-escalation and not wearing riot gear when they're knocking on the door to be like, you all right? Someone's got a fucking death's head mask tattooed on their forearm. You okay in there, buddy? Yeah, no thanks. But yeah, so, you know, it's... That's a very sad story, and it also has to do with this, like, outing people. Like, what do you want to have happen? Like, what good are you doing in trying to out these people for their extracurricular activities? Yes, you can bring up if he was the kind of pastor that said that bisexual conduct is against the Lord, then yeah, he's a hypocrite and you should bring him up on that. But you know, these sorts of things just blows, man, because, you know, he didn't have to die, and it was only because they you know, thankfully, it's like for the women in the previous article, thankfully they're like, I can just go get more money from OnlyFans because this is now publicity for that thing. But that sucks that they have to give up something that they were good at and is a good in the world. We can talk about the, you know, the value of OnlyFans stardom if you want, but like, it's hard to say that being a good teacher isn't good for the fucking world. Why would you disqualify somebody from doing that? Especially when, you know, they don't make no goddamn money for it.
Yeah. Not giving joy, not sparking joy.
No, not at all. So fucking idiots.
So I think that means that we should head to our final segment, which is fucking brilliant, where we have some joy and optimism.
I think so too.
In the face of all of this nonsense. So, it, like many of our fucking brilliance, it starts out with something rough, but it's like, yeah, we're going to survive anyway. So there's all these like, anti-LGBT bills that are circulating that are like completely not based on any science. They're just meant to be harmful to trans kids. And it's like, all these bans in these various states about like kids can't go seek gender affirming treatments. They can't get hormones, that like it's banning things like gender affirming surgery, which is exceptionally rare for minors. Like it's just trying to be mean. And they say things like, and this is incorrect, that female and male are the only two sexes possible in humans. It's just like factually not true. So
again, they're doing it on vibes. They go in there and say that this is all wrong because my sky daddy said that it's wrong. You know, the vibes. There's no such thing as two-spirit individuals. Yeah. And so, yeah, a coalition has come to challenge all that, which is like, we knew it was coming, but you know, why even go through all that? Because all this shit costs fucking money.
But in North Carolina and in Montana, there are contingents of trans minors, their families, and then I think, like as you said, even more importantly, like intersex and two-spirit individuals, because that is the sort of thing where it's like, it's real. We have this very dumb argument on trans things where like cis people are like, I'm an expert on a thing just because I decided I am. But like with two spirit and intersex, like you have to explain to them what those words mean first. And then, you know, like if you don't even know like the basic nomenclature there, you can safely assume you're not an expert on it. And you probably shouldn't like legislate on it. So if you can't tell me in a scientifically accurate way, what does it mean to be an intersex individual and how does a person become intersex? It's through fetal development because all fetuses have bipotentiality.
Bigonadal potentiality.
So if you don't know about fetal gonadal development, maybe shut up and let somebody who does talk about it. So like two-spirit individual has to do, it's very specifically an indigenous identity. It's not something for someone else to take on, but it is their indigenous cultures. It's a belief of a gender that is not just specifically male or female. And it is, it's just a perfect example of how gender is socially constructed, that like some cultures have understood this kind of idea and other cultures have not. And then biologically, an intersex individual is someone who does not fall neatly into the category of male and female. And that is because we are not a strictly binary species in that way. We, one in 100 births falls under the category of intersex because they are not neatly definable in one or the other. And because that is a biological fact that intersex exists, and because Two-Spirit is a perfect example of how gender is socially constructed, this is a really good basis for a lawsuit, which says that this is, you know, like not only denying people's, so like, there's so many different ways that this could be handled legally, but it has to, you know, it's challenging this idea of, you know, not doing harm through law. It is violating right to privacy, free speech. There's the Montana Constitution specifically has a dignity clause, and it's a really unique thing that outlaws treatment which deliberately reduces the value of persons, and that's going to be one of the arguments that they make. So, and that was used,
probably has to do with how Montana and the United States treated Native Americans.
Probably
Which is why. So it's you know, some people aren't serious people, and sadly they have serious power behind them, and as a way to tax shelter the millions or billions that they're stealing from the people who are below them, they pay into big think tanks and 501c3s that work to undermine our fucking rights and values as a people. And so you need to create those same structures in order to fight them back. And you do that with lawsuits like this. And just it's hilarious that in the midst of a wave of anti-gender nonsense, the one of the best arguments is for someone to stand up and be like, I exist and I do not fall into your recently mandated binary, so this is unconstitutional. I'm a fucking citizen, you idiots. You all deserve to be disbarred.
So shout out to the people in Montana and North Carolina. There have been some other ones that have already been successful in Tennessee and Kentucky. There's still going to be a ton more battles because right now there's like 270 anti-LGBTQ bills being debated in like 31 states. So this is going to continue to be a thing, but people are going to continue to push back. So if you want to support these endeavors, if you want to help in this fight, ACLU is a great one. I am a regular donor every ACLU. Month. They take my paltry sum to go support these efforts.
ACLU, PFLAG, Lambda Legal. There are a variety of things. This article is in Them magazine. So
it's a great one.
Is their website. And you can go up there and you can see all of the, you know, the article lists, all of the people who are doing this stuff. And and if you want to support them, because these are the structures that are in place to fight this kind of fucking cartoon villainy.
Yeah, support the people doing the things that you want to see in the world, because we can't all be lawyers, and we can't all...
Yeah, we can't all be lawyers.
We can't all go help rebuild the coral reef, you know, but we can support the people who do.
Exactly. And you can do what I do and make Thanksgiving terrible for the bigots in your family. This is my time of the year, baby. This is when I go, oh, is that what you think? Because scientifically, that's not true. Do you want to open your phone so I can show you some things? And then they curse at you.
And I get more mac and cheese. Times.
Yes, exactly. And you just go back to eating ham.
Yeah. Well, all right. So
beans, greens, potatoes.
On that note, I'm hungry. So thank you everybody for listening. If you don't already, follow us on the internet, DT Fun Hour on Twitter, on Instagram, of course, find us on Patreon, where you can get our very special bonus content for a book report which is also still sexy, but different kind of more like nerdy sexy.
Right. Sapiosexy.
We could have a whole conversation on sapiosexual. And thank you to our editor and producer, Flirt Vonnegut. And thank you all for supporting the show for however long you have. Come check out our live shows. Daryl, where can people find out more about you?
DarylComedy.com. You can go in there. You can see dates, places. There's an article about me. You can also see information for my album, Black Gentrifier, which is really good. So, DarylComedy.com.
And you?
Yeah, Dr. Timmery.
Where can people find you? More about me at DrTimmery.com. DrTimmery. And I will include links to the stories that we've discussed here, along with other ones. And you can see our upcoming events. You can get the tickets to our upcoming shows. That's all the stuff.
And that's it.
Thank you, everybody. Talk to you next time.